In Chronicles, in chapter 4, you have a huge list of names, the clans of Judah. If you've got a Bible, you want to follow something with me, I'll show you something. This is the chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, where you discover Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez. I gave birth to him. He was illegitimate. And yet he became one of the greatest serving God. Because Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory and let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain." God granted his request. And then you go on, Caleb, Shiloh's brother, the father of Maah, was the father of Eshton. Eshton was the father of Beth-Rapha. And he goes on like that until you get to the end of verse 14. And Seraiah was the father of Joab, the father of Geharashim. Why were they called Geharashim? Here it is. It was called this because the people were craftsmen. And you get another huge list of names. And it goes on and on. And if you've got your Bible, and if you're like me sometimes, oh, I think, do I really need to read the names? And then I chasten myself and say, you have to read the names because there may be a nugget in there. And Joachim, the men of Kosiba, Joash, Seraph, who ruled in Moab and Jashubilehem, and there's a bracket. These records are from ancient times. But who were these people in Jashubilehem? Oh, they were the potters who lived in or at Netaim and Gedera. Do I stop? Listen. They stayed there and worked for the king. They were the potters who lived at Netaim and Gedera, and they stayed there and worked for the king. I look at you. You are the men and women who live at Rochford. And I could put your name and your place in there. And why do you stay there? Why are you here? Why do you go on living here in Rochford? Oh, here's the answer. Because you're here to work for the king. You're here. Potters, they don't count for much. But we're here to work for the king. You see, churches are not bricks and mortar. You know, that's a building. That's a facility. That's a place we use. You have real people, you, me, us, people like us, because the church is about Jesus Christ, and it's the greatest thing on earth, and we can belong to it, and we can do its work. We are here, part of a church, to work for the king. An awful, awful statement is made way back in Genesis 6. I'll read it to you. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth and what it had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he'd made man on the earth. His heart was filled with pain. He said, I better wipe them out. But God had got someone else in mind. Someone who he could say, this someone, I will establish my covenant with you. It was Noah. And God said, I'll make a covenant with you. And yesterday, in the coronation, the covenant was the strongest promise and commitment that people can make, or two people can make to each other. When they made a covenant, this is how they sealed it. You take off your sword, and you saw the swords yesterday being exchanged and given. You exchange the sword. Why? Because I give you my sword and you give me yours, and I'm saying to you, I will defend you. When you are struggling and somebody's coming attacking you, I'll defend you. And you've got my sword, you're saying, Dave, I'll defend you. You exchange the sword. And then this was the strange thing. They took off their shoes. They exchanged their shoes. Because they would be saying in the covenant, I'll go to any length, any place, any time for you. And you do it for me. And then they would almost invariably in those Old Testament times take a lamb or whatever, and they would make a sacrifice. And they would cut it in half and put one half over there and the other half over here. And then together, the two making the covenant would walk in the path that they've created. And what were they actually saying? You know, without each other, we're incomplete. And when you give your heart and your life and you trust Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, you enter into a covenant with God. We talk of salvation, we talk of provision, we talk of guidance, we talk of blessing, we talk of victory that comes because we have Jesus as our Savior. But it's like exchanging the sword. When you trust Jesus, the covenant you make is this: he'll fight for you. He'll be there on your darkest day. He'll be there when you're down and out. He'll be there to help get you through. The shoes. I will be with you. You will never be on your own. You will never, ever be. Other people can be missing, but Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, will be with you. And when I read Colossians, yesterday they read from Ephesians. I wish they'd gone into Colossians. And it Colossians says, we are complete in him. Without him, I'm nothing. Yet I'm complete in him. And when you know Jesus as your Savior, that is exactly what's happened to you. That's exactly the encounter. That's exactly the covenant relationship that you have. So I look at you this morning, and every Sunday I come here, I see you. I see covenant people. I see that you belong to the King. And because you belong to the King, when you go from here, that knowledge, that covenant relationship, that commitment you've made, that belonging and being part of here means that you have an impetus for service. We have to go to work for our King. And so you suddenly think of our ministry. And when I read the scriptures, and I read just about Jabez, and I just mentioned about the potters, I saw the variety of tasks. Earthly kings, just like our current king, will have servants for all kinds of tasks and duties. There'd be the soldier who fights the king's cause. Where was that? Can I just have a word with Paul? He's like me, an old man, coming to the very end of things. Paul, what was that you say? I have fought the fight, the good fight. I've kept the faith. He's writing to the Ephesians. And you know what he tells them? He tells the youngsters. He tells the middle-aged. He says, you put on the whole armor of God. Because you've got a foe. You've got an enemy. You've got Satan. He's an incredible enemy. He even attacked Jesus in the wilderness, tempting him. You say you are who you are, then make the stones you haven't eaten for 40 days, make them turn to bread. Oh, come on up here. Throw yourself down. You're supposed to be able to say, angels will catch you before you dash your foot against a stone. He attacked him in the wilderness. I want to tell you, Satan wants to destroy the kingdom of God. You have to be vigilant. What you hear in the news, what you see on your television, what you read in your magazines and your newspapers, what you see as the behavior in the community. Be vigilant. Be on your guard. You're part of the army of the King. You're soldiers of the King. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master, my friend. Within the King's army, the King would have not just soldiers, he would have watchmen on the city walls. They guarded the King's city. They made sure the gate was open. You would find them there in the dawn, waiting for the dawn. They would not allow the gates of the city to be opened till they could see what's out there. Are there enemies waiting to pounce? Are there robbers and brigands waiting to steal and destroy? They were watchmen. I don't sleep well. It's part of having cancer. I'm awake at night. And if most of you are like me, you are too. There are times in the night when you can't sleep. Be a watchman. Be a watchman. Pray. You see, many of us are older. We're struggling. We can't get to all the activities. We've got to have wheelchairs and push-alongs and all those things. We've got to have people to drive us. Be a watchman. Be a watchman. For those youngsters who've gone out upstairs, be a watchman. Oh God, these young people are being exposed to all sorts of things. I'm praying for them. So when you can't sleep, be a watchman. Be a soldier when you can. Be a watchman. And then there were scribes. Well, they talked about all the affairs and the matters of the king and so on. Issachar was one, a wonderful guy. And he kept the records. And he would tell anyone and everyone the story of the king. Hey, be a scribe. This is what we're meant to do. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Tell people that. In an angry world, in an abusive world, in a bitter world, when I hear people being angry and aggressive and violent, I say, let me talk to you. There's no way like that. And you can tell them something of the story of the king. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings, you see, the Lord of Lords Supreme throughout eternity. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Don't minimize the value of telling somebody this week about Jesus. You work for the king. You can be a soldier. You can be a watchman. You can be a scribe. You're one of the verses that dogs me and will not let me go. You'll find it in Psalm 78 in its verse 4. I can't avoid it. I will not avoid it. Tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Because if I don't tell them, who will? And then do you know what else the king had who worked for him? He had musicians. They sang the king's song. The king would sit on the throne. And musicians would play their music to please, to delight, to exalt him. We aren't talented musicians, most of us. Ruth is excluded, and Les here. But I tell you what we can do. You together, with croaky voices, can't get the high notes, too low for the low notes, we can sing the praises of God. You don't need books at the moment. Just sit down. Let me just keep talking. We're talking about serving the king from 1 Chronicles 4. The potters lived in a particular place at a particular time because they served the king. And we're here in this time, this place where we live, and we're here to serve the king. Soldiers. Or fight the king's battle. Watchmen who guard the king's city. Scribes who tell of the king's affairs and keep account of them. And like this verse that I can't escape, I have to tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Because if I don't, and if you don't, who will? We used to bring wonderful numbers of children off the Rochford Garden Way and off the Anne Boleyn, but they've gone. We used to have teenagers sitting in the gallery, but they've gone. We're now a town church and they built old people's units around us. But if we don't tell them, one of the best things this Easter was, this place was crowded with the children from Waterman's because they wanted me to tell them the Easter story. We went beyond that because I told them what was happening all around them. And I had moms sitting here who said, we never knew. We lived in Rochford all our lives, walked past here and didn't know this place existed, didn't know the kind of things you are talking about. I'm here and so are you here. And we're here to tell about the King. And we're musicians as well, I just got on to. And I can sing Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. I have singing sessions at home. And fortunately, the neighbour is my daughter. And there's no one else on the other side. But I sing with my croaky voice. And I sing the praises of my God and my King. And you can do it. And I say this with kindness to you. When you're here to worship, open your mouths. Let your voice say. It doesn't matter whether you're in or out of tune. Sing. Be a musician. Serve the King. Praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, I got one more. The potters, the gardeners, the potters who shaped things to make them attractive and useful. And that's my task. I take, and you can do the same. Let's take broken people and broken lives and help put them back together again. Let's shape the youngsters as if they were being molded on the potter's wheel. Let's take the misfits and make them fit. That's our job, serving the King. And gardeners, they would work in sheltered places, creating where plants could grow. That meant watering and weeding and bearing fruit. And then I read Song of Solomon. And he says, you. And I look, hold my Bible, and I say, God, are you speaking to me? He says, you are God's garden. I better cultivate the garden. I better make sure it's watered with the word. I better make sure every morning and every evening. You see, God's garden. This place, God's garden. So come in from the kind of week that sent you crazy. And you come into God's garden. Beauty and fruitfulness. Well, I'm going to stop. I was going to go on and into the New Testament, but that's enough for this morning. So I want to break the bread with you. Do you see it, covenant people? Because our motivation, you see, is we're with the King. We are inspired by his presence. I marvel how Jesus works. He told a man to pick up his mat and walk home healed, and he did. And when they challenged him, he said, well, my Father's always at work, and I'm working too. He worked out in creation. He made, the Bible tells me, he upholds all things by the word of his power. I saw him working at a wedding in Cana, turning water to wine. I saw him working when he healed and cleansed so many. I saw him when they caught the fish. I saw him feeding the crowd. I saw him calming the storms. And all of this was only a stepping stone to the cross. And we've got a needy world to win, and we've got a community to change. What's our inspiration? Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us, his presence. Well, if I'm inspired by his presence, I am strengthened by his power. The promise of the Holy Spirit to energize, enable, and empower. He's not sitting on the throne saying, well, I hope everything works out all right. I've got a bunch of people in Rochford. They call themselves the Congregational Church. And I'll give them the power. to work out my purposes. Because he so loved the world. And I can't stop, nor can you, until we win the world for Jesus. There's no plan B. It's you. It's me. We're workers for the King. As simple as that. And yet as profound as that. And that's the covenant relationship of the believer. He'll never leave you. He'll always defend you. He'll always be with you. And you'll walk in company together, covenant people. And there were potters at Genesaret who served the King. And there are potters, soldiers, watchmen, scribes, workers at Rochford. And they served the King. Serve him well.